Streaming and serving out of Fayetteville, Georgia, you are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe. Let's check out today's message.
And so we have this series that we're going to go through called Relationship Status. And the thing about relationships is this, is that if you don't move toward a relationship intentionally, it will not happen. Okay? I remember, and some of you are like this, right? Y'all remember those days back when we had phones and you had to actually dial it, right? Had to actually dial the phone and it had, right, and it came back. And I remember there were times when I was sitting in my room and I wanted to call that girl so bad, and I'd dial the first number. Each time I'm getting like 2 or 3 seconds, right, to contemplate, is this the right decision, right? And it gets all the way to the 7th number and then you hang up, right? Because you realize, right, I've got to be serious about this relationship. Do I really want this to happen? And I've got this time to think about it. So I've given you time to think about it right now. Because you are going to get to talk to each other. And this is what we've got to understand. Is that all of us have relationship challenges. It doesn't matter whether you're single or married. It doesn't matter whether you've got kids or not. We all have relationship challenges. And sometimes there are people in the room who may be going through something similar to what you're going through, but you didn't know that because you never talked to them. There might be some things that are going on in somebody's life that, right, they're just looking for somebody to just share that with. But if we never talk to anybody else that goes to the same church that we say we're a part of, then what good is that? Because if we can't help one another, how in the world are we going to help anybody else? This is a place where we should be, and we've all heard this before, we're stronger, we're better together, we're stronger together. And yet, if somebody has a need, sometimes it's like, well, who am I going to call?
Ghostbusters.
No, you need to call one another, right? But if you don't know one another, you're going to feel weird about calling somebody, and so let's get past the weirdness now. Okay, let's get past that so that we can actually feel okay with reaching out and saying, hey, you know, I've got this going on, or maybe can you just pray with me? And by the way, let me say this, that a lot of times people aren't coming to you or I looking for an answer. A lot of times we already know the answer. We just need somebody to listen. You just need somebody who's not going to try to tell me what I need to do, try to be my Holy Spirit, right? We don't need that. You just need somebody who can listen. So, can you relate? Can you relate to that? You understand what I'm saying? In fact, if you're alive, you've had some relationship dissonance. In fact, some of y'all might be going through relationship dissonance now. You say, what is that? Problems. Okay, you might be going through some things where it's like, you know, I'm saying this, but they're acting this way. Or I'm saying this, but, you know, our words don't seem to match our definitions. Because we can talk about love, and we hear about love a lot. But I think that sometimes God means one thing about love, and we think it's something else. And so over the next few weeks, I hope that we can gain some insight on our relationships with one another. So, right now, I want you to turn and you're going to talk to some people around you. And this is what I would like for you to discuss briefly, because we only have 2 hours. Okay, briefly, I want you to talk and just discuss with the people around you, what do you find most challenging about the relationships that you have right now? What is the most challenging thing about the relationships you're in right now? So those of you who are at home, you can type in the chat, right, and somebody will respond to you. What do you find most challenging about the relationships that you have right now? What's the most challenging? Because even though we might have the best communication with one another, even though we may spell it out completely, okay, there might still be something going on inside of that person that they don't even know how to articulate. They don't even know what's happening. And so sometimes what we've got to be willing to do is show more grace. That's our word, isn't it? More. We're going to have to show more love. You say, well, I don't feel it. I didn't say feel it. I said show it. You see, that's the thing, is sometimes we don't want to do something unless we feel like it. And what we got to understand is that it is not always going to feel good to do the right thing. It's not always going to feel right to do right. And so for us, when we think about our relationships and relating to one another, sometimes you're going to have to show more grace. You're going to have to show more love. You're going to have to show more forgiveness. You're going to have to show more. And you say, well, you know, I wish I could get that back. Well, you might not. Think about when Jesus went to the cross. Do you not think he would have loved a little more worship? Do you not think he would have loved a little more respect? Do you not think he would have loved? Of course he would have. But he did it not to get something back. He did it because that's who he is. And so what we've got to understand is that if we're going to model Jesus, we don't do it to get it back. We do it because it's right. We do it because that's who we are. And we want to love. We're going to show that love regardless of what you show me back. Now, that's hard. But let me give you a little thing here. You've probably heard this before, right? That your vertical relationship affects your horizontal relationships. And your horizontal relationships will affect your vertical relationship. And so what we've got to do is we have to start looking around us and saying, okay, God, am I looking at people the way that you look at people? Am I looking at my kids, my spouse, my neighbor, the way that you look at them? Because if my relationship with you is what it should be, one that is filled with grace, love, compassion, mercy, then help me treat everyone else around me with more grace, compassion, love, and mercy. You see, sometimes, right, thank you, Miss Bessie. Sometimes, right, here's the thing, you just made me think of something, right, is that sometimes we're praying that somebody else will change. Lord, change them. Lord, change them. And what we need to pray is, Lord, change me. Change me. Oh, but that's not how, that doesn't feel so good, does it? Oh, you mean I need help? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I need help, right? And so sometimes what we've got to do is we've got to allow God to turn his x-ray machine on into our own heart, into our own life, and say, well, why aren't you more loving? Why aren't you more kind? Why aren't you more graceful? Because, see, the thing about it is this, is that if God has done that for us, who are we to withhold that from someone else? When God himself could have withdrawn every ounce of love, every ounce of grace, and yet he chose not to. And so our relationship vertically is going to affect our relationships with everyone else. And this is what you got to ask yourself. If my relationship with everyone else is not what it needs to be, then how can it be right with God? How can I be right with God? I can't walk around saying, well, I'm right with God when my relationships around me are falling apart. Now, everything doesn't rely on you, okay? But as much as it lies with you, live at peace with all people, the Bible says. Especially those of the household of faith. You see, sometimes we can go the extra mile, but we choose not to. Sometimes we can give a little more, but we choose not to. Sometimes we say, well, you know, here's the line, and you've already stepped over it 20 times, right? And so what we've got to understand is this. If God has given us more grace, let us show more grace. If God has given us more compassion, let us show more compassion. Look at what Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31 says. And this is, man, we know this. We know this. I talked about it even last week. Jesus answered and said, the foremost is, hear, Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment greater than these. There's nothing that's greater than these two commandments. And so our vertical relationship affects our horizontal relationships. You love the Lord your God, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. And the way you love your neighbor as yourself helps you see how much you understand God's love for you and God's love for them. You see, God values relationships, and so should we. But I have to ask you, to search your heart today. How important are these relationships to you? How important are they to you? You see, sometimes, and you know, I'm just kind of made this way. Sometimes I hate being made this way. But you know, I feel like it doesn't take much to bother me. It doesn't take much for me to, you know, to be concerned. And to think, oh, you know, I hope I didn't hurt that person's feelings. I hope I didn't say something wrong. I hope I didn't do something wrong. And I'm glad that I'm that way. But sometimes, you know, I just want to be like, man, what? Get over it, right? Just come on. They don't care. But, you know, and maybe you're that way. But this is what we've got to think about, right? Is that if God wants us to do all that we can do to be reconciled together, that if God wants us to do all that we can do, if there's any chance, the Bible even says this, that if you come to the altar and you're going to give your gift and you think that your brother has an offense against you, what are you supposed to do? He says, leave your gift and go be reconciled to your brother. Because God's saying this, relationships matter. What matters most is not your gift. What matters most is your relationship. And so make sure that you are putting a higher priority on your relationships than on your service. Make sure you're putting a higher priority on your relationships than anything else, because God values that. So just have to ask you to ask yourself this question. Is there anything more that you value, anything that you value more than your relationships? And it's like, okay, if we're struggling, if we're having a hard time, we really need to focus on that. Now, I want to say this, as a church, man, you know, I love our church. And I remember years ago when I was first stepping into this role, one of the things that we really wanted to work on was community. And we kind of laugh about it now with how long the meet and greet goes and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of other churches have done away with all that. And, you know, it's like, well, we're still doing it, and the reason we do it is because you guys love loving each other. You guys love getting to know one another, and I appreciate that so much. And so, you know, our dynamic is part of that. Yeah, we are a family. I feel like we are family. Maybe I'm just completely wrong, but I feel like that's who we are. And I do. I feel like all of you would do anything you could to help someone else in this room, even if you don't know their name. But this is one of the things that we want to get to, is that, yes, even though you would be willing to do that, it's so much better if you know their name. It's so much better if you know them personally. It's so much better when you know who we're talking about. And so, you know, for us, if we're really going to be a church that's going to make a difference in our community, I think the more that they see that we truly do know who we are, then we're going to have a greater impact wherever we go, whatever we do. You see, being entertained, having hobbies, and completing tasks are all important, but it's no healthy substitute for relationships. You know, sometimes we all need that time where we just get away. Sometimes you just want to kind of hibernate and go into your little cocoon, you know, and you just want to have that time where you're just doing something for yourself, and self-help and all of that is good. But I want you to understand that relationships are going to be inconvenient. That relationships sometimes are going to require you to put aside the hobby, the task, the me time for we time. And I'm not talking about the video game we, okay? Because the fact of the matter is this, is that you can do those things another time. But when someone's hurting or when someone's in need, you need to take that time with those people. You need to be with those people because people matter to God. Because people are eternal. A video game, a hobby is not eternal. Listen, when we get to heaven, we ain't gonna be playing with whatever. There ain't gonna be, you know, a PS5, or by then it's probably PS 1 million, but, you know. All the things that we think right now are so important, it's not gonna matter. But what is going to matter is how we spend time with one another here. And so, let me ask you to evaluate a couple things. What's the first thing you think about each day? Sometimes when you wake up, you're thinking about problems. Sometimes you're thinking about the obstacles you got to face. What am I going to deal with today? Right? And these things can weigh you down. What's the last thing you think about at night? Are you going to bed, right? And by the way, the Bible says this, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. If there's something that you need to deal with, and what that means is, you know, not necessarily literally, you know, sundown. But the fact of the matter is this, you go to bed angry, you're going to wake up angry. So he's saying, reconcile this as soon as you can. Don't just let something go on and on and on and on and not deal with it. What do you talk about the most? Right? Is it complaining? Or are you encouraging? And we're going to get to that in a minute. And then finally, do you prioritize people? Because people matter. And this is one of the things that's sort of frustrating when you're dealing with relationships, right? Is that sometimes, right, you want to matter, but you don't put a priority on anybody else. And so what you've got to understand is this, right? You want love, show love. The Bible says that if you want to have friends, then be friendly. You want to have relationships, then be relational. And so it's going to be important for us, right? That we can't say, oh, well, nobody's moving toward me. Because, well, are you moving towards people? Or when somebody's moving toward you, are you moving away? I love this quote. God does not demand of me that I accomplish great things. He does demand of me that I strive for excellence in my relationships. Are you pushing for excellence in your relationships? Are you really moving toward that? Because I believe that all healthy relationships begin and end with love. All healthy relationships. Some of you are in unhealthy relationships. Some of you are in relationships that are, you know, struggling. And it's easy to talk about love, but living love and being love, well, that's a different story, isn't it? That we can all talk about it, but when we have to show it, when we have to demonstrate that, it's a lot harder, isn't it? Loving people who are like us isn't hard. It's loving people who aren't like us. Who don't like us, that's the challenge, isn't it? It's like, man, you know, sometimes I do. I sit in my room, I'm just like, man, I'm great. I just wish everybody was like me, right? Don't you think that too? If everybody could just be like me, if everybody could just see the world the way I see it, right? It would be a great place if everybody was just like me. No, it wouldn't. It'd be horrible. And sometimes that's what we're thinking, right? Why can't you just get it? Why can't you just see it the way I see it? Why don't you understand where I'm coming from? Because they ain't you. And this is what we got to understand, is that everybody's not like me. And that's the true test of love, isn't it? Is loving people who aren't like you. When we're talking about love, and a lot of times love is defined incorrectly, many people mistake lust for love. And this is why you get into a lot of bad relationships. It's because people think love is a feeling. Because people think love is just, you know, what it does for me. And what we've got to understand is this, is that love is not about you. Real love is focused on the other person. Love isn't a feeling or even caring for or about another. Love is an action that puts the other above the needs, wants, and desires of yourself. How is that going? That's hard, isn't it? I mean, because we're talking about the needs, wants, and desires that I have, and I'm willing to put that aside for somebody else. You see, love isn't about what's in it for me, but how I place value on someone else. Do I see and am I treating the other with an eternal or temporal value? The relationships that you have, the ones that you're feeling challenges with, right? We got to remember these people are eternal just like we are. And the way that we treat them here and now can affect eternity. And so we've got to remember that. Because sometimes, listen, that person that you're struggling with or that person you have challenges with, it's not, they are not your enemy. You do have an enemy, but it's not them. And oftentimes, the way that Satan is trying to work is in the relationships with other people around us to cause us to act in a way that might push them away from Christ. You know, we've been talking about deconstructing lately and how many people are walking away from the Christian faith. And I'm hearing it more and more and more all the time. One of the reasons that so many people are walking away from the Christian faith is because they feel like, man, the Christians aren't like Jesus at all. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus did have interactions with people, and he told them the truth. But Jesus also interacted with people with great grace, great love. And the Bible says that when Jesus came in John 1:14, he said he came filled with grace and truth. Sometimes we're leading with truth when we need to lead with grace. I think it's awesome that the Bible says he came filled with grace and truth. That Jesus came and his whole act of moving toward us was an act of grace. But his act of moving toward us with grace was to tell us the truth. And sometimes people need to hear the truth, but they need to know that we truly love them, that we're not just trying to fix them, right? But we do want to communicate the truth. And so, it's through a personal relationship with God that we learn how to love one another. Love can do, let me read this. I wrote it down for a reason. It's only through a personal relationship with the God who is love that we can do things and love people unselfishly and unconditionally. We can't do it on our own, right? We need the God who is love to be love in us. And as we work on our relationship with God, it's going to begin to affect those relationships around us. Look at what 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 says. Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. And now let me just stop right there. No one's ever seen God. But people can see the kind of God we serve by our love that he has placed in us. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. So I have to ask you, do you have a relationship with God? Because that's where it all starts. Your vertical relationship with God is going to affect every other relationship around you. So as that verse was saying, do you know him? Do you have that kind of relationship with God, knowing that this God sent his one and only Son into the world so that you could have everlasting life? He is the sacrifice for our sin. And if that's true, if you do have that relationship, then maybe we should stop going around asking each other, how you doing? Maybe we should start asking each other, how you loving? How you loving today? Because I promise you, by the time we get out of here today, some of you are going to have a challenge with how you're loving. I promise you that by the time you get home, you might have a challenge with how you're loving. And certainly, tomorrow's going to be Monday. We all know it's coming. How you loving? You see, sometimes it's not about just how we're doing, because we can be doing the things that look good. We can be doing the things that just mask over it. The question is, are you doing it with love? Are you truly loving God and loving others? You see, these verses in Mark tell us that we start with a love for God. It's a certain kind of love for God. We all know it, right? So we're supposed to love God. What's the first way? Love God with what? All of our hearts. With all of our hearts. This is the seat of our emotions. So I want to ask you, do you ever have any feelings of love for God? Like, you know, I'm not one of these kind of touchy-feely guys, although I am emotional sometimes. But, you know, it's not like my heart just always feels like, you know, oh, man, you know, I'm so in love with God. If that's you, that's okay. That's great. But there are times when my heart is filled with love for God, and I am moved with emotion for God, and that I do appreciate what God has done for me. And so I want to ask you, are you ever emotionally stirred for God? Is there ever anything that moves your heart for what God has done for you? Because if that's true, at some point, it ought to show up. At some point, right, it ought to show itself on your face somehow. And we got a lot of Christians walking around like this. Yeah, I love God. He loves me. Right? That sometimes, right, we should be moved with some kind of emotion because he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Why is it that you know what, the projections for this year for Valentine's Day, which is, you know, a week from Wednesday, they're saying that this year that there will be over $14 billion spent on Valentine's Day for candy, jewelry, etc. Over $14 billion. And we represent Valentine's Day with these hearts, right? And we're all about loving people or trying to win someone's affection. Listen, there's nothing you have to do to win God's affection. He loves you already. And this love is not something that you ever have to be afraid of losing. You can never lose the love of God. This is what's amazing, is that there's nothing we have to do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to keep it. There's nothing we can do to lose it. Amen? So, let that stir in your hearts. And ask yourself the question, you know, God, I want to have a greater affection for you. How about this? With all of our souls, what does that mean? That's a little bit harder to define sometimes, right? But when I was preparing for this, it was talking about how our soul is kind of wrapped up in the decisions we make. So let me ask you this question. Do you ever decide to do something for God in view of who he is or because of what he means to you? You know, sometimes when you're in relationships with other people around you, sometimes you make decisions not because it's what you want to do. It's because, you know, I want to do this just because they mean so much to me. Sometimes I'm not going to do this because, you know what, I know it gets on their nerves, so I'm not going to do it. You know, sometimes, listen, I hate country music. Let me just be honest with you. I'm an ABC guy, anything but country, right? But listen, if we get in the car and you love country music, I'm going to let you listen to it. It's your car. And you know what, if you get in my car and you want to listen to country music, I'm going to say, get out. I'm just kidding. Right? See, here's the thing, is that sometimes we've got to be willing to say, I'm going to accommodate, right? I'm going to let some things go that don't matter because I'm going to do this because I love you. I might hate country music, but if you love it, then, man, you know, I can tolerate it. And sometimes that's where we're at, is that we feel like we can't tolerate things anymore. We're intolerable. And maybe we just need to, again, let some things go. So, are you using your passions and desires for Christ? You see, sometimes we've got to be willing to say, you know what? I've been using all these things for myself. I've been doing all these things for, you know, whatever, my success, my growth, my company, whatever. It's like, well, do you use any of those things for God's kingdom? Are you using your gifts and abilities and talents for the glory of the Lord? You see, that's what it means to love the Lord with all of your soul, is that sometimes we make decisions not just for what's in it for me, what's in it for God's kingdom. And sometimes I can bend. Many of you know this to be true now, that if you can't bend, you will break. What does it mean to love the Lord with all of our minds? Well, do you ever think about God? Do you ever consider what pleases him or how things affect him? Do you ever walk around and say, you know, God, I hadn't really thought about this, but how do you feel about this? How do you think the relationship's going? God, how do you want me to act or react in this situation? God, do you like country music? I didn't think so. So you know, the thing about it is this, is that sometimes we need to bring God into the conversation, right? That sometimes we need to, right, defer to God and say, God, what is on your mind here? What is your direction here? How do I need to handle this, right? Before I say anything, right, God, speak to me. Do I consider what pleases him? So I want you to think about that. I got to keep moving with all of our strength. That's the physical activities we engage in. Do you do what you do for God wholeheartedly? Are you excited to serve? Are you excited to say, God, yes, I want to give my all to you? And this is one of the challenges that we're going to find, is that usually people give 100% to something other than God. And because they do that all week long, when church comes, they have nothing to give. That when it comes time to serve God, oh, well, it's like somebody else can do that. All my attention, all my affection is over here on these things. And you know what? God's got a lot of other people that can love to serve and blah, blah, blah. Well, I think it's really weird for us to say that we love God, but we give him the least. I think it's really kind of crazy for us to say that we love God the most and he gets so little time. I think, like, if you were looking at your relationships with one another, physical, real people, and you spent as much time with those physical, real people as you do with God during the week, your relationship would be non-existent. That if you talk to people around you as little as you talk to God, well, that's why you got a communication problem. And this is why sometimes our relationships are not all that they need to be, is because really we're not spending the time we need to with God first. What does Matthew 6:33 say? We all know it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. A lot of times it's a seek me first. Now I want to say this. Loving God in these ways doesn't mean there won't be days that you don't feel like you love God. There are days I don't always wake up feeling like I'm saved. Anybody else with me? There are some days I feel like I'm like, man, God, how in the world are you loving me? I don't know. But that doesn't mean it's not true. And see, there are going to be days when you're not feeling like you're all that God wants you to be. And the crazy thing is that God still loves you anyway. And God still wants you to serve him anyway. But loving God doesn't mean I can't be real or authentic with him. He already knows everything you're thinking and feeling anyway. So maybe sometimes you just need to wake up and just get real and get honest with God. Say, God, today I'm having a bad day. God, today I don't feel like loving people. I don't feel like serving people. I don't feel like doing anything. And this is what you're going to hear God say, I think. I hear you. Get up and do it anyway. Get up and love people anyway. Get up and serve me anyway. Because you're not doing it out of feeling. You're doing it out of love. And love is not a feeling. This is what we've got to remember. Love is not a feeling. And by the way, that you will find if you start doing the right things, you start loving anyway, the feelings of love will come. Right? That if you start doing the right thing, actually doing the right thing is going to feel good. You start serving anyway, you're going to find, wow, I really do like serving. You start interacting with people, right? And you're going to be like, well, you know, people aren't so bad. So, let's move towards closing here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. If we really want to love God and love others more, we need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we think, because the way we think affects the way we act. The way we think affects the things we say. And sometimes we're not thinking right. And because we're not thinking right, we're not acting right. Because we're not thinking right, we're not responding right. If you're honest with yourself, sometimes you jump to conclusions. And jumping to those conclusions can cause problems. And sometimes, right, you've been in an interaction with somebody and you say, well, this is what I thought. And you're like, they're like, no, that wasn't even in my, I wasn't even thinking that. That wasn't even, and you're like, well, you look this way. It's like, well, I look that way all the time, right? But because they look that way, you read something into it, right? Or somebody just looks a certain way at you and all of a sudden you're defensive and you're like, why did you look at me that way? It's like, I wasn't even looking at you. I was looking past you, right? And so, right? So sometimes it's right. Our thinking is not right. Because we've got all these different convoluted thoughts going on in our head that sometimes we just need to, right, take a minute and ask myself this question, right? Let's go through this list real quickly. What is it true? Is it true? If you don't know if something is true, then go, if you're having a problem with somebody, then go and ask, hey, is this true? I was thinking this, but is it true? I heard this, but is it true? I don't want to have untrue thoughts in my head. Now, one thing that we need to understand in our day of social media is that everybody's lying. Okay? Everybody's lying. What I mean by that is they're not telling you the whole truth. They're only telling you the part that works for them. Okay? And so what we've got to understand is this, is that if we're going to be an authentic family of God, we don't just need to say things that work for us. Okay? If it's true, it's always true. So will we love others? We will better love others and God Himself when we think about what is true. Some of the things that will help people with their mental faculties, with better thoughts, is spending more time in God's Word, less time on social media. Sometimes your interactions and truthfulness will grow in spending more time relating with people face to face than behind a computer or on a phone. Because I'm telling you this, we've all had miscommunications through texts. Text does not communicate emotion. I don't care how many emojis you put on it. Okay, you can put the thumbs up. High five, right? You can put the smiley face. You can put all that. But listen, it doesn't communicate. It's so much better to be face-to-face with people. So let me encourage you, church. Get to know some people outside of this building. Get to know some people in this building that you don't know already, face to face. And that will help you, right, decipher what is true. Because when you're meeting with people face to face, you don't have to think, oh, I think they're thinking this. No, you can know what they're thinking. You don't have to think or wonder. Listen, God has never failed you. He doesn't change. He will never leave you. And when you think about these facts, you not only love God more, but it opens you up to love others more because you're secure in Him. You know the reason we're insecure sometimes in our relationships? Because we don't really know what other people are thinking. We're insecure because, well, you know, I don't know. I'm afraid that if they really knew, if they really understood, they wouldn't be there. Listen, when you understand that God loves you perfectly, you don't have to worry about any other relationship not loving you perfectly, because nobody can love you perfectly. Some of us are holding out for that, right? Oh, you know, I just want to have that relationship where everything is just awesome. And listen, the Lego movie's lying to you. Everything is awesome. No, it's not, right? Yes, thank you. It is not. Everything is not awesome. And everyone is not awesome, okay? So what we've got to understand is that God is the only one who's awesome. And when we have that security in our relationship with Him, it will help us when all the other relationships, right? Let me put this on here. When you have a solid relationship with Jesus, your unstable relationships with others will not be as scary because God is holding you. Okay? So you don't have to be afraid. If your relationship with God is what it needs to be, the other relationships, even as unstable as they are, you can be stable in that instability. You can be comfortable in that uncomfortability. Finally, don't believe that. We're not quite finished yet. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what does that mean? Well, God is in perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. There's perfect integrity. And when your relationship with God is in harmony and full integrity, it will be easier for you in your relationships with others. Are you honest with God? Are you being truthful with God? Are you keeping your commitments to God? Because it will be much easier to keep your commitments to other people if you're keeping your commitment with God. But if you're going to compromise with God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to compromise with others. Honorable. Are you being honorable? Are you doing what's right? You see, God is righteous and He does the right thing. And when we are right with God, it will help us to be right with others. Are you doing the right things by other people? If you're not doing the right things by other people, again, you got to ask yourself this question. Well, then how can I be right with God? If I'm not doing right by everyone else, then my relationship with God is not what it's supposed to be. So let me work on my relationship with God, and then that's going to affect everything else. Getting right with others may mean not demanding your rights. There are so many issues that come up because we simply want our rights. We want what we want. And let me tell you this, that you can be right as rain, and it's not going to help the matter. Being right doesn't always win. Being humble is how you win. You see, sometimes, and this goes back to our whole series last month, right? Humility is where it starts. Jesus had every right. He had everything at His command. And the Bible says this, He laid it aside. And sometimes we've got to be willing to lay aside being right. You might be right, and let me tell you this, God is the one who keeps perfect score. You don't have to keep it. God is pure, right? Are you thinking about pure things? When we are seeking purity, our love becomes less tainted with selfishness, pride, lust, or other sins. That when we are truly focused on loving people purely, think about pure things. When you look at other people, are you thinking pure thoughts? Are you thinking hateful thoughts? You're thinking lustful thoughts. Are you thinking the way that God wants you to think? If it is not God's love if it's impure. If you're having an impure thought, it's not God's love. It's tainted. Look at what Titus 1:15 says. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, are your thoughts lovely towards others? Is your love reflecting beauty or destruction? Is it pointing to God's glory or simply fulfilling your wants and your desires? That when you're thinking about things and thinking about people, are you just thinking, how can I use them to get to wherever I need to get to next? Are you just thinking about, you know, what's in it for me? Or are you actually thinking lovely thoughts and thinking, you know, I just want to help you, man. I just want to help you become all that God wants you to be. I'm not looking to get anything out of this. I just want to help you grow in your relationship with God. Finally, is it commendable? Is it commendable? You see, God's love is something we can always talk about to and with anyone. There's nothing shameful about it. There's nothing to hide. And when you consider loving others this way, is it commendable? Like, when we're talking about being commendable to people, in our relationships with others, is there ever a time that somebody would not recommend you for something? Is there ever a time, right, that we should always be able to recommend God to people? Well, that should be the same thing true for us, that if we're people of God, we should be commendable to other people. But you know what? Sometimes when people think about you, they're not thinking commendable thoughts. And the question we've got to ask is, are we being commendable to people? That people wouldn't have any question about our love, our intentions, that people wouldn't have any question about how we're going to treat them, how we're going to interact with people. Listen, you know, I think it's awesome that we have Christian businesses. And that Christian businesses, you know, I've had some interactions with some recently, and you can tell a difference with those who are serious about serving the Lord with their business. And I don't mind, right, paying a fair price. And this is the thing, is that we as followers of Jesus, we should be willing to do the right thing all the time, treat people fairly, and go out of our way to serve one another. And you know, that should be reflected in how we do business with each other. But there are some people that call themselves Christians and they're in business, and man, it's like, don't say you're Christian. Don't say you're Christian business. Right? Are we commendable to people? It should be that every Christian business should be commendable to somebody else. Hey man, I got somebody who's gonna treat you right. I got somebody who's going to do you right because they're a brother or sister in Christ. And man, I just want to commend you to them. They're going to serve you and do you right. That's the way it should be for all of us, isn't it? That when we serve people, that when we give to people, it should be because of our love for God. Is our love commendable? So here's that list: true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable. So this is what we're going to do in closing. You guys are going to talk to each other again. I've said a lot. You get to say some now. So I want you to turn and talk to each other and share with one another something that you feel like God has spoken to you about today. Something that challenged you, something that you're going to walk away from today with and say, you know, this week I'm going to work maybe on one of these characteristics. I'm going to work on being true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable. Or maybe there's something else that you can share with each other to say, hey, I need prayer for this. I need help in this area. So go ahead and do that. Okay, let's talk to one another. Then we're going to have the band come up and lead us in a final song, and then we'll be dismissed. You got about like 5 minutes. Share with each other.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, please visit our website at newvisionc.com and our socials at New Vision Church and NVC Next Gen. Just look for the round broken V logo and we'll see you soon. God bless.